Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I was told this time we exceeded the capacity of this place, and they're not going to build more facilities just for us. So I guess there's only one other thing we can do next year, assuming the number will keep on growing. I hope so. Is that we may need a fourth training, because this is the first one. Then there are the two that have started over the last few years. One is going to, both of them will take place next week. One in Athens, Georgia, and I heard that their number is now well over 200, which is, you know, after they spin off the Midwest portion, they have come back to where they were before very quickly. And the one in Champaign this year, which was in Fairborn for the last 2 years, now this year will be 140-50, which is like double their number 2 years ago. So all over, the number is this year in these trainings is, I should say, 750 and growing. I can see very easily next year we will be over 800 or more. If that happens, there's no way this place can take so many people. We just may have to have two West Coast summer trainings somehow. Brothers say, well, that's not so good because we won't blend. Well, we can still blend. So I'm from Southern California. I can go to the one in Northern California, and those in North can come down South. We can still blend. But the facilities is really the limitation. But don't let that limit us. We pray there will be more college-aged saints that can join these meetings. Actually, most of the college-age brothers and sisters are not here. You agree with me? There's only a number, a percentage that are here in these trainings. I hope we can continue to pray. You can also continue to be burdened for your peers, and then you can, even for this whole year, to help them to get ready and orient themselves, plan their summer so that they can be in these trainings. I'll tell you, to be in these trainings makes a difference, just like the FTT training makes a big difference. I believe these trainings, even those 1 week, make a big difference in the life of a college-age seeker of the Lord. And you add 4 years of this together, it means a lot. It means a lot. So come back and bring, I always said, bring another one with you.
Amen.
Right? Just bring another one. Another saint, another new one, another brother and sister. Just bring one with you. They will get the help. Okay? Now, this is the last afternoon session. I heard that you did all kinds of things, including some Q&A yesterday, I think. Right? So this afternoon, rather than get doing some Q&A, I'd like to just give you some of my regular talks, you know, which you may be expecting or not, I don't know. But before we get into that, something came to me just today, just today, and this morning, actually at the airport, while I was waiting for my flight up here in Orange County. What came to me was a few words that to me speaks just volumes of the condition of a saint. And I like these few words, to become yours, and to become something that you would be ready to say to the Lord all the time, and at any moment. What are those words? Four words, okay? These four words are Lord, here I am. It's those four words. Or you can flip it. Here I am, Lord. Or Lord, here I am. Now, if you go to the Bible, you'll find these four words both in the Old and the New Testament, especially in the Old. And to me, these four words became very, very fresh to me. I know these four words already, but they became very, very fresh to me just this morning, especially as I was thinking about you, about the burden for these last few sessions. I want you to remember that these four words should be there in you whenever or wherever and however the Lord comes to you. Whenever the Lord would come to you, and wherever He would come to you, and however He would come to you, you would be ready with these four words, Lord, here I am. You may say something else to Him, some other things to Him, but let these four words be the first four words in your response to His visitation. And I must tell you, young brothers and sisters, there's no greater thing a human being can experience, or a child of God, a Christian, can experience in his life than the visitation of the Most High God. The visitation of the Lord Jesus Himself. There's nothing greater than this. And I speak from my own experience, and I surely speak based on so many stories and biographies of the past saints of God and servants of the Lord, that inevitably their life, their knowledge of God, their walk with God, their service to God, their purpose with God started with God's visitation or appearance. There should be a longing within you, brothers and sisters, at your age. You are absolutely not too young. And I will say, actually, that the college years probably are the beginning years of the Lord's personal visitation to a man or a woman, that age bracket. I wouldn't say he does not appear to a child or a younger person. I wouldn't say so. But in terms of a visitation that is meaningful, that is life-changing, that is lasting, it begins usually around the age 16, 17, 18, 19. Those years. I myself had the Lord's first such visitation. It does not mean he didn't visit me before, but I scarcely remember those visits. I was saved when I was 11, so you may say I had the Lord's visit, otherwise I wouldn't be saved. But I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about a very, very definite visit by the Lord to you individually, personally, to call you, to speak to you with a charge, to put within you His desire, to gain from you a total, unreserved consecration. A visitation by the God of glory that would change your human path forever. That took place with me when I was 17. And that visit was not just an hour or two, although the peak or the pinnacle of that visit culminated in a short period of time of a few hours. I know the date. I know exactly even the time, because it's just burned into me. It was a totally unforgettable experience. But what led up to that visit was over a year or so of drawing, of wooing, of attracting, of an incessant call, regardless of my condition, which was not the best, regardless even of my readiness and willingness to respond. Those cords of a man and those bands of love was working for about 1 year time, culminating in that particular event I had with the Lord. That experience taught me, as well as so many things I have heard and read from other saints of God, that it was not atypical. That's how God works. You are not too young to receive such a visit from the Lord Himself. And I pray that you would experience that visit. I don't think you can hurry it. I don't think you can wish it to happen. And don't try to fabricate it, you know, to stir up some feeling. And it doesn't work that way. It has to do with God's sovereignty. It has to do with God's timing. It has to do with God's pleasure. It is not up to us. But to my understanding and in my experience, a lot was due to much prayer of some saints on my behalf. But what I am telling you today, briefly, is if and when the Lord should visit you in that way, and you know that it's Him knocking at the door, it's Him whispering your name, you would know what to say first. You don't need to conjure up a prayer. You don't need to give Him some message. You don't need to say, I'll do this or that, because that's not what He was looking for. That's not the purpose of the visit. The purpose of these visits is that He wants to gain you. That's all. That's all. Nothing else. Not only He wants to gain you, possess you, to just have you as His. But along with that, usually there is a part two, a second part that is embedded in this purpose. And that part, you may say that supplementary part, is He wants to give you a commission. Paul, the apostle, was the classic case on the Damascus Road when Jesus appeared to him from the heavens. So, in that experience, he was called, and his eyes were open to see the one who called him. And then, immediately, the Lord told him what He wanted to do. That's His commission. So, in this appearing, the first thing is a vision of Christ. And the second thing is a commission from Christ. Vision and commission are the two things that come from such a divine visit. And again, I allude to my own experience. I received both when I was 17, actually 2 months before I hit 17. 2 months. When the Lord comes to you in this way, it could start after a message in a meeting. And you're with the Lord, and then He comes. And you're not able to sleep. You have to spend the time, hours maybe, to respond to him. It could happen while you're sitting there gazing at the creation. Pray that he comes. It could come at any moment, at any time, and I am not making this into some kind of superstitious happening. When he comes, you just say, Lord, I am here. Lord, I am here. Who said this? Abraham said this in chapter 22 of Genesis, when the Lord wants him to take Isaac, his son, to kill him. To kill his son, Isaac. He said, Lord, Jehovah, I'm here. Jacob, at least a couple of times. Once when he was still named Jacob, the other time when he was changed to call Israel. Jehovah came to him. He said, I'm here. Then it happened to Samuel, I believe chapter 3, 1 Samuel, when he was still a boy, in the tabernacle. At night, the Lord came and called his name. He didn't know what to do, so old Eli taught him, tonight, if he comes again, you just say this, Lord, I'm here. You just say this, which he did. And by saying that, the Lord began to speak to him. It happened to Moses at the burning bush. When Jehovah spoke from that bush to him, Moses responded, Lord, I am here. This happened to Isaiah. You go to Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the vision of the Lord in the temple, filled with smoke, filled with his glory. The angel of the Lord, which is the Lord himself, came. Whom can I send? Isaiah responded, Lord, I am here. In the New Testament, at least one case, not with a renowned, prominent brother, but with that little member called Ananias, who baptized the prominent one, Paul. When the Lord came to him and told him to go to meet Saul of Tarsus, he said, Lord, I am here. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is after something. The Lord has a desire. He has a purpose. He has a goal he must attain to. And talking about the course of the church, it is exactly the church that he wants. Over the centuries, in order to gain this church, he must gain men and women to save them, to regenerate them, to transform them, to sanctify them, all these things, to make them stones for his building. That is our destiny. But in order to do that, the Lord needs those who would respond to Him, who would be in a condition to cooperate with Him, who would have a heart lined up with His, and a readiness to offer their whole being with everything they have, so that God's purpose can go forward in them. You also need some who will not only themselves be the offered ones, become the stones for the building. He needs some that will be the stone gatherers, those who would go forward to gain other stones, other materials for God's dear building. And so, in these last 2,000 years in the church age, in a hidden way, that call was going on nonstop to this one, to that one. And by calling such people, every age, He had some instruments, some means in the form of human beings, who are themselves God's property and possession, and who live for nothing else but God's heartbeat, who waste themselves entirely upon Him. And these ones became the Lord's vessels to carry on His purpose from age to age. And not strangely, not coincidentally, in every age, that call primarily came to young people. Not old people, young people. Not people my age, no. But young people your age. That's how God works. You say, why? Why? Because a young person is open. A young person is not encumbered. A young person does not have a lot of baggages. A young person is relatively flexible. A young person has energy. A young person has years in front of them for God to do His work, to mature them, to perfect them, to make them useful vessels in His hands. When the Lord comes to you, brothers and sisters, you just tell Him, Lord, I am here. You don't need to say that much. In fact, may I suggest, even you may think the Lord has not appeared to you, has not come to you in such an intense and deliberate way, in fact, I would like to suggest that starting now, you would make this part of your conversation with the Lord by saying, Lord, I'm here. Those four words indicates availability. Those four words implies readiness. Those four words mean willingness. Those four words equals, Lord, do what you want. Nothing pleases the Lord than that. And God really is not expecting you at this young age to do this or to do that. I look at some of your questions, I said with a smile in my heart, in when I was your age, those are exactly the questions I asked. You're not that mature, that perfected. In fact, that's why you need to go to FTTA. But this question is beyond that. This question, or this call, or your response to this call, in a sense, doesn't have to do with all of that. This response to the Lord from you is the critical, pivotal point in how you would live your life henceforth. And that, brothers and sisters, I must say, is something by His grace and mercy ought to be settled as soon as possible. And His coming to you is to force, enforce such a settlement at the right time, and only He knows. I love those four words. In fact, today, even as an older person, that's what I should say as well. Lord, I am here. Before you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I am here. How's that? My sisters. Who is saying that to God today? Who has that response? What young person has that response within him today? But you're here. You're under the sound of His words. You're under the operation of the Holy Spirit, which is He Himself. You're saved, and you love the Lord, and you have a heart for Him. I would say if there's a group of people whom the Lord would visit, this must be the first group. How are you going to respond? So I'm a little bit like Eli. That's a very bad analogy. I never want to be Eli. But just to draw from that story, I'm telling you, the Samuels of today, when the Lord comes, you just say, Lord, I'm here. I'm not there. I'm here. And then you listen to him. I tell you, he will have a lot to say to you. To someone who is waiting for the Lord in this way, this is absolutely, by the way, a slave's response to a master. I'm here. Master, I'm here. King, I am here. Lord, I am here. Lamb of God, I am here. What you are saying, the inference of that four words, is what? Is what? When I call Samuel, and he says, I'm here, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means the ball is back on my court. Am I right? That means, speak, Master. That means, what do you want? That's what it means. Right? You don't tell him anything. You don't say anything. You just say, speak. Speak, Lord. Just speak. Just say it. Just tell your servant what is in your heart. Just pour out. I am here, Lord. The Lord may call you to give your whole life to serve Him. And when He calls you, that's not the time to negotiate, to cut a deal, to talk terms. The Lord never negotiates. The Lord commands. The Lord charges. And if this one is not ready, he will go to the next one. He will go to the other one. And trust me, there will be some who are ready. And I pray to the Lord that you all, each one of you, will be such a one. Lord may call you to first go to the training. In my case, after I responded to the Lord in this kind of a way, I tell you, I'm not exaggerating here. From that point on, it seems my whole life was out of my hands. I lost control. It's all doing His bidding. It's all what pleases Him. It's all His ordination, my path, my human path, my spiritual path. Everything, let me tell you. My schooling. I was not in college yet. I was just applying for university in this country. The major I take. the relationship with my family, my marriage, my career, my future, from that point on, changed forever. It's like someone took over the wheel and say, you move over there. You're not the driver anymore. It's me. Let me drive this car. He wants ownership. He wants total possession. He wants total control. He doesn't want your help. He wants you. Oh, brothers and sisters, He wants you. God wants you. And speaking in an empathetic way about the Lord, I would say He needs you. I can't believe it, that there is such a thought in the universe that God would need me. I know I need God. That's a foregone conclusion. That God needs a young man that can turn this age, that can carry on the baton, that can move the course of this age forward, actually, a few steps closer to His return. For His satisfaction. Brothers and sisters, that's the burden. You don't even need to whip up a feeling of consecration, you know. Sing a bunch of love songs to kind of stir yourself up. You don't even need to do that. When He comes, when He taps your shoulder, when He touches you, and you know it's Him, you know, you just know, it's undeniably the Lord this time. The Spirit is moving so drastically, I would even say, from experience, violently in your spirit. That love that begins to pour out in your heart is so thick, so strong, so irresistible, like Niagara Falls. You know the Lord is coming to you. Anyone who have experienced the Lord's visit in this way, realize in the Lord's visit, the man is usually speechless. There's only one doing all the talking, and that's Him. You just say those four words, and you just keep saying those four words, whatever He says. You don't run. You don't excuse or bring up excuses. You just say, Lord, I am here. I have a burden. I know that. Generally, it's for the Lord's move and, you know, the recovery, all of that. But I have a particular burden, and I'm not saying I'm the only one, many brothers, but I do have a particular burden for decades. And that burden has not dried out or I don't feel it's finished. In fact, if anything, it's stronger and stronger. And that is a very particular burden for your age bracket, for young people like you, college age. And that burden is not a general one, that you would love the Lord a little bit more, you know, you read the Bible a little bit more, all of which are necessary, by the way. You would even come to the summer college training. All of these are good, very good. But my burden, all these decades, is that the Lord will arrest some of you completely, wholly, totally. Your whole being and everything that you have, your lives, your future, your relationships, I mean everything. The Lord today is still waiting for that one man who is abandoned to him in this way. That one person. This person is yielded, quiet, available, open, in his hands. The hands of the potter, as a piece of pliable clay for him to mold, for him who has the authority to do whatever he wishes, whatever he wishes. Then the Lord will be able to gain a success in his economy. Even to this day, standing here, many, many years later, many decades later, I still go back to that day, or the Lord would point me back to that day. I have gained a lot more experiences. I have further visitation of Christ. I don't deny that. But that day marked my beginning of a true life in Christ. That day was the day I became a disciple, a follower of the Lamb. Let's pray, huh, before we go to eat. Lord Jesus,
amen.
We pray that these words from you would be engraved in the hearts of all the dear ones in this room.
Amen.
Lord, man speaking means nothing.
Amen.
Only your Spirit's anointing means everything.
Amen.
Lord, if this burden be of you, we pray that you will anoint these words into the hearts and spirits of the dear young people here.
Amen.
O Lord, in your sovereign time, visit them.
Amen.
Show yourself.
Amen.
Appear to each one of them personally,
Amen.
Intimately,
Amen.
Individually,
Amen.
And call them unto your glory.
Amen.
Lord, you know.
Amen.
We don't know.
Amen.
But Lord, we pray for your sovereign mercy,
Amen.
To operate again in these days.
Amen.
as it has in the past 2,000 years.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we await you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we are here.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I think we better stop here.